If you would open your Bibles, book of Psalms, Psalm 68, we'll be reading verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 68. The Word of God says this: "A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land." That's the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that you have adopted us into your family, and that you are such a good father. Father, I praise you for who you are. And Father, I just ask that you would open our eyes to understand the tremendous privilege and responsibility that we have as fathers, Father, but also as just a society, Father, to honor fatherhood. But most of all, Father, I know that there is a lot of pain that people have experienced because of their fathers. I ask that they would just see that you are a perfect father. Father, that through Jesus Christ adopts people into your family. And I pray that we would seek you as Father this morning. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Because it's Father's Day, we'll take a break from Amos to just study the idea of God as Father. If you look at it, especially in the New Testament, Jesus declares that one of his great task is to reveal to humanity who God is. He goes and says that, you know, to see him is to see the Father. And we know that the only begotten Son, he has declared to us who God is. And Jesus emphatically, over and over and over, repeatedly taught us that God is Father. That is the way God has chosen to manifest himself to this world, is as Father. Now, if you stop and you think about that, that is a very remarkable thing, because there are many different ways that God could have chosen to identify himself, many which he did. For example, as king, sovereign ruler, prince. There are many of these ideas that God identifies with, but the one he most often identifies with and the title he takes to himself is Father. He refers to himself as Father to the nation of Israel. We see it in the book of Psalms that God is Father. We are taught in the Lord's Prayer to pray our Father. And if you stop and think about that, he could have identified himself as mother. He could have identified himself as brother, as sister, as child, as grandchild. He could have identified himself as grandfather or great-grandfather. But no, when God wants us to know who he is, he says, "I am Father." Now, we have to understand that that is more than just God revealing who he is, but that God has created the family unit. The idea of fatherhood is something invented by God to portray to us who he is. God is the one who created marriage. He created male. He created female. He created husband. He created wife. He created fatherhood. He created motherhood. He created grandparents, and he created children and grandchildren, all of that. And in his wisdom, as he created this world for us to know who he is, he created fatherhood to be the best picture of who God is. Now, there's two ways of looking at this. One, you can be really, really bothered and call this the toxic masculinity patriarchy that's in the Bible, which is a lot of people do. In fact, there's such a crazy thing as the gender-neutral Bible, which they went through and just changed all the words, to where God is no longer Father, he's Mother or Father-Mother. You even find theologians like C.S. Lewis even refers to God as his Father-Mother God. Because, you know, God is more than just Father, he's got to be Mother. The problem is God never identifies himself as Mother. The issue here, and then you can look at it in one way, is that the Bible is very patriarchal and oppressive towards women. Or you can look at it another way, and that is that God, as the creator of this world, has created it for a specific purpose in an intended way. And that the family relationship that best illustrates who God is that of a father towards his child. Now, this means several things. One, I mean, far and beyond, men have been given probably the greatest and most fearful responsibility that a human being can be given. And that is, as a father, you are supposed to model who God is to your children. And how you act as a dad is going to directly form your child's understanding of God. If you are harsh and exacting, your children will believe in a harsh and exacting God. If you are distant and cold, your children will believe in a God that is distant and cold. If you are absent, they will believe in a God who is absent. If you are cruel, they will believe in a God who is cruel. If you are undependable and you let them down and you miss out on all the important events in their life, they will conceive of a God who will let them down, they can't depend on, who does not care about them. And this has borne itself out. I mean, the number of illustrations for this are just innumerable. One of the ones that comes to mind is a young lady who whose dad abused her and abandoned her. And she found grace and healing within the church, and God did a great work within her life, and she was restored. And then she really, though, had a very difficult time with just something as simple as the Lord's Prayer. And she said, God is not father. A father is a person who abuses you and abandons you, and God is not that way. God is loving, forgiving, gracious, present, very quick to forgive. He is firm but gentle. Fathers aren't that way. I refuse to call God father, because the God I know does not match my understanding of a fatherhood. That's a tragedy. But the truth is, who you are as a dad today is going to affect your children's view of God for a long time. That is terrifying for me as a dad. Of all the responsibilities I have, to know that not my teaching, but the way I interact with my children is forming their understanding of God. Because when they read Our Father, which art in heaven, the first thing that's going to come into mind is, I can talk to God the way I can talk to my earthly father. And if that is not a good image, then the image of praying to God as Father has been distorted and destroyed by me. You think of, say, Moses. Moses was forbidden from entering the Promised Land for striking the rock. And that's because he destroyed the picture of grace and forgiveness that is in Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation. How much greater judgment will I be under if I do not accurately portray to my children that God is Father, and show His love and His condescension and His grace and His steadfastness and His patience, His firmness, His discipline, His gentleness, His grace and mercy. But more than just that awesome responsibility, one of the things we have to remember is that if God is choosing and creating the family, and He's choosing the Father to be the one who gives the best visual representation of who He is, then that must mean that the Father is the most influential person in a child's life. And this is where this goes from a message to just men who are fathers or will be fathers, to all of us as a society. We live in a society that says dads are not necessary, dads are expendable, fathers are not necessary to bring about a productive member of society. But if you just study statistics, that is overwhelmingly not the case. And researching for this, I was reading all kinds of articles and all kinds of things about this. It is absolutely dumbfounding how important a father is in a child's life. grades. Just having a father, and all of these studies don't tell you whether it's a good father or a bad father. Just if there is a dad in the home, physically, okay? He could be a horrible dad, could be a great dad, doesn't matter. If there's a physical father in a child's life, they will make better grades. The chances of them being incarcerated is far lower. The chances of them getting in juvenile delinquency, far lower. Their body mass index will be healthier. Just having a father in the home means the child will be physically healthier. Poverty is directly related to whether there's a father in the home. And again, we're not even talking about a good dad. We're just talking about a male body in the home. Makes that much of a difference on a child's life. And what they've done is they've done studies and they've shown that the father being present in many respects was more important than the mother being present for the child's grades, for the child's well-being, for the child's upbringing, for their behavior, for all the statistics, for all the problems we face in our nation. Yet we live in a society where fathers are expendable. We know this. If there's a divorce, who is the low man on the totem pole when it comes to custody? Always the dad. The mother has to do something atrocious to lose custody of the kids. Right? That happens, I think, somewhere in the neighborhood of 80% of the time in our society. Why? Well, because dads aren't seen as expendable. Just watch a sitcom. Watch any sitcom in the last 20, 30 years in our country. The dad is always a bumbling idiot and the mom is a solid rock. And whenever you need advice, you always go to your mom because your dad's just a fool. We live in a society that says dads are not important, dads are not important, dads are not important. I would say the exact opposite. That if God identifies as father, then a father is the most important person in a child's life. Right? And that means, one, as a dad, you have a tremendous responsibility on your shoulders. Because you are the make or break for your child. You are the one that has this tremendous responsibility. And you are the one who is going to be so instrumental in the formation of your child's character. Their health, their education, everything. So step up to the plate. Hit a home run. I mean, it's the bottom of the ninth and you're up to bat. You can't afford to strike out. You can't afford, well, they're two, they're three, they're four. I'll get involved when they're older. No. You've got to start now. You know, I understand, for those of you with young kids, when Michael was born, I still remember it very vividly. I remember that they handed me the baby and I went and showed him to my mother-in-law because she was outside the door listening and then we were so excited and I walked back in and I was holding them and just, you know, that weird, bizarre feeling of how could I love somebody so much that I just met. I mean, those of y'all who've had children, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And then I was kind of like, now what? I mean, I really, literally remember going like, here you go, Lydia. Let me know when he's old enough to wrestle. Like, that was literally in my mind. Like, there you go. And you ask Lydia. That was pretty much my mindset. Like, when he can crawl and walk and stuff, let me know. Because right? That was my mindset. Like, the mother, that's her responsibility. That's the mother's job. But the more I've studied Scripture, I've found it's the exact opposite. All the genealogies in the Bible go through the father. All the kids are with the father. Okay? And it's almost the exact opposite of our society. It was almost to where the men had all the rights to the kids and the mothers had almost none. And I'm not saying that that's right, but I want you to understand the massive importance you as a father have in the life of your child. You know, I've talked with people before and they'll talk about gender and they have all kinds of questions about us crazy people who believe that men and women are different. You know, I don't know, it's crazy stuff. And they'll say things like, well, why would you not encourage a young woman to get a career? And I say, the same reason I wouldn't encourage a young man to seek a career. And they look at me like, what's wrong with you? Have you ever stopped to think of the insanity of most men's lives? You are living your entire life for a career that if you really were to write it down at the end of the day, no one is going to remember who you are a decade after you retire. And you're going to devote your whole life to that. You're going to get some title. CEO of some company no one has ever heard of. And you probably won't even make it that far. You're going to get some title that only matters to 20 people at your place of employment. No one else cares. You're going to devote your whole life for money, for this giant house. What good is a home if your children aren't in it? What good is a home if your grandchildren aren't in it? What good did it do you? And we see we have this mindset that a man's job is to provide for his family so his wife can raise the kids. That's the mindset. And several years ago, Lydia and I went to this, it was a conference. We went to hear Paul Washer preach. There was a conference that happened at the same time, but we just went to hear Paul Washer preach. And we were there, and there's a whole bunch of really large families with homeschoolers and all this stuff. And, oh, good, well, maybe we can make some good friends while we're here. And I remember, like, after the first day or two we were there, Lydia and I were talking, and we were looking around going, man, like, we are so impressed with the women here. I mean, you got these women, and they got all of these kids, and the women are beautiful, and they're stylish, and all the kids are well-behaved, and all that. But we said, not a single man we have seen the entire time here, except for a couple of the people who were speaking, have we even noticed. They were just like this amorphous blob carrying diaper bags. There was nothing that would impress you about any of the men. And the more I talked and I began to interact, what I began to find, and this is true, by the way, is this is what has been taught in the church. And this is what men have adopted. Okay? And it goes something like this. Honey, I think we should have lots of kids. Whatever you say, dear, my job is just to pay for it. Honey, I think we should homeschool the kids. Whatever you say, dear, my job is just to pay for it. Honey, I think we should do foster care. Whatever you say, dear, my job is to pay for it. Honey, I think we should adopt. Whatever you say, dear, my job is to pay for it. And so all the man is a paycheck. And it becomes very clear that he has no involvement whatsoever in the upbringing of the kids, no involvement whatsoever in the education of the children, no involvement whatsoever in the formation of their lives. Okay? And it's clear when you begin to look, because you'll see these amazing women who just juggle a million balls, and you go, how on earth do you keep them all in the air at the same time? And then you look at their husband and you're like, what does he do? Oh, he makes money. You won't find that in the Bible. All the instructions on raising kids are directed to fathers. By name. It doesn't even say parents. It doesn't even say fathers and mothers. It's directed at fathers. Something you may have missed. You remember the Shunammite that really, really wanted a child? And Elisha said, you know, God's going to give you a child. And she has this one little boy. Where was the little boy as a child when he died? He was doing math homework at the kitchen table, right? He was in the field working with his dad. Why? Because men used to understand it was their responsibility to raise the kids. It was their responsibility to see that the kids are educated. It was their responsibility. And your wife's there to help you. You as a dad have a tremendous responsibility to form the character of your kids. And you are the most important person in their life. We'll talk about this in just a minute. You have no idea the amount of damage an emotionally absent father does to a child. Okay, you can trace sexual promiscuity. I have counseled women in their 40s who are still sexually promiscuous, and it all goes back to they want the love of a man because their dad didn't love them and show them affection. Homosexuality? Study the statistics on homosexuality. The vast majority of people who begin in homosexuality begin about 12, 13, 14 years of age. They come from a broken home with an abusive or abandoned father. And the person that they end up falling in love with, quote unquote, is someone their dad's age. 30 or 40 years old. Okay, go study it. I'm not making this stuff up. And what it is they want the affection and love of a dad. And along comes somebody 20 years older than them and says, what I'm doing to you is affection and love. And they are so desperate for that attention from a father figure. That is what leads many of the men. If you look at the statistics on the age gap in homosexual relationships, it is absolutely astounding, because that's where it almost always begins. Yes, there's some outliers. But what is it? It's men wanting the affection and love of a father who wasn't there. I tell you one that just blew my mind, but it makes sense in light of Scripture. I was talking with a man who had a lot of sexual addictions. I mean, sexual addictions that landed him in prison, and out of prison several times. And he was talking about trying to overcome those addictions. And so he said, you know what I found helps me the most? He said, when I have my temptations begin to come on, if I imagine my dad walking up and giving me a hug, the temptations go away. And I remember going, I don't think I would really rely on that, buddy, for the type of sentence you struggle with. But at the same time, I go, wait a minute. This man is scarred from his father. And you as a dad do not understand how much of your life and attitude towards your kids is going to affect them the rest of their lives. It's not the sins of the mother that are visited on the third and fourth generation. It's the sins of the father. And I don't say this to beat up men or berate them, but to say, you are important. You are not expendable. Your children long for your attention, and they want your attention more than they want their mother's attention. Lydia tells me all the time, you're the most popular person in the house. Whenever you come home, the kids don't want anything to do with me anymore. The other day I was outside working, and she came outside and said, you've got to take Luke. He has just been standing at the door holding his boots saying, Dada outside, Dada outside, Dada outside, Dada outside. Why? Because that's what kids want. They want your attention. They want your affection. They want to know that you are proud of them. They want to know that you notice them and care about them and love them. You've got to step up to the plate. You're that important. And I want to challenge those of you who are women or mother-in-laws and all that. I understand that sometimes through divorce, sometimes through separation, through sometimes all of that, you have a lot of animosity towards the father of your children. But I have seen women literally destroy their children, taking out their hatred on their ex. Using those children as a hand grenade against them. Your child needs their father. And as a wife, as a mother, you need to do everything you can to make sure they have that relationship. And I'm going to be honest, and those of you who are happily married, you may not like me for saying this, but it's the truth. Dads play with kids differently than mommies do. Let them. Okay? So what if your little girl comes in with a sunburn and a tick? If she spent time with daddy, that's what matters. Your child will never remember the tick. They'll never remember the sunburn. And they'll never forget playing with daddy. And I know well-meaning mothers who go, what you're doing is dangerous. I can't believe you would do that with them. Let them. That is what that child is going to remember the rest of their lives. And I understand that you're protective. Okay? But you've got to encourage the relationship for your children with their dad. Your daughter, it's not just boys need to be outside with daddy. Your daughter needs to be with daddy. They need that relationship. And we as a church, we need to push that as much as we can. And I understand that guy, that bozo who married your daughter, is not good enough for your daughter, not good enough for your grandkids. But he is that child's father. And that child needs their dad. And you have to do everything you can to encourage and foster that relationship. We as a society, we have failed our kids, and we are reaping it right now. You look at all the violence, all the depression, all the suicide, all the failures, everything, because we have said dads aren't needed. No, dads are needed. In fact, I would argue dads are the most important person in a child's life. And when you start acting like it, both men, women, parents, grandparents, children, everyone. But the point of this passage, though, is not to tell us about what we should be as men, to tell us who God is as Father. Now, don't you notice what it says about God? It says He's a Father of the fatherless. In the Bible, it doesn't speak of orphans. It speaks of those who have no father. Because in many respects, orphans losing their mother is a devastating effect on the child. But losing a father, in some respects, is even more devastating. And what it speaks here of God is how God adopts people and brings them into His family. If you study godly men of old, you think of, say, Job. Job brought fatherless children into his home. We as men must take the initiative on foster care and adoption. It's not a whatever you say, dear, I'll just pay for it. That foster child, what they need more than anything in the world is a dad. That's what they need. They need a dad that shows them affection. A dad that tells them they are important. Because many of them, before they ever got foster care, they had a mom, but they don't even know who their dad is. They need a dad that says, I want you to be a part of my family. They need a dad that says, I want you. Do you know what kind of a scar it is on a child when their parents get divorced? Every child believes, Daddy left because of me. And you as a dad, as a man, need to come into that child's life and say, I am in your life because I love you. Single moms, and some of them who are might as well be single moms, we as the men of the church must step in and be a father figure in the lives of those young men and young women. We need to be there to encourage them. And as, especially as the boys grow older, we need to be there, taking them out to lunch, inviting them into our lives, spending time with them, encouraging them, teaching them about girls and finances and everything else. Why? Because that's what God did with us. And that is my responsibility, is to be like God the Father and to open my life and open my schedule and open my home to people who don't have dads, to people whose dads are emotionally absent or physically absent. That is our responsibility. And it goes even further, that God is a judge of the widows. That means God protects widows. And it's spoken here of His job as a father. Your job as a man is to take care of your widowed mother, your widowed mother-in-law. Your job as a man is to step in and help your neighbor who's a widow, to be there for her, because she doesn't have a husband to go and find out if the car dealership's trying to rip her off or not, see if the mechanic is prescribing repairs that she doesn't really need. She needs someone to do those things for her, and that's your job as a man, because that's what God does. He sets the solitary in families. You see, it shouldn't be the wife saying, honey, we really need to have so-and-so over. It should be your job as a man saying, we need to open up our home to bring in widows, to bring in fatherless. We need to open up our home and our life. We need to be hospitable. We need to bring these people in. We need to love them and care for them. Why? Because that's who God is. I'll be honest with you. A lot of churches don't do anything on Father's Day or Mother's Day. But mainly Father's Day, because Father's Day is one of the most painful days in the calendar for most people. Why? Because either their father's dead, their father abandoned them, their father abused them, they don't know who their dad is, their father was emotionally absent, their father was cruel and vindictive. And for many people, Father's Day is a day of great pain. For widows, Father's Day is a day of great pain, because they know how good of a father their husband was. And it's a reminder that you're alone. Your husband's gone. Your dad's gone. And for many people, it brings up so much pain. But that's the whole point of this passage. Is it doesn't matter whether your husband or father is gone. It doesn't matter whether they were abusive or absent. God is Father to all those who come to Him through Jesus Christ. And He is a perfect Father to the one whose father is gone, to the one whose father is absent, to the one whose father has abandoned them. God the Father will never abandon His child. He will never abuse His child. He will never neglect His child. He is always present. You can always speak to Him. He will always listen to you. And He loves you. That's who God is. You know, and I think of the man I was telling about earlier who just imagined his dad giving him a hug. If he could only see that God the Father would love him better than his earthly father ever had. And that all that he needed was not found in a physical man, but was found in God the Father. Every person has some type of scar from the time your dad forgot your birthday. A friend of mine, his dad didn't show up at his wedding. I mean, can you think of a more important day? And he invited his dad 6 months in advance, and his dad didn't even come to his wedding. Do you know how much pain that has to be? Yet God the Father was there for him. And God the Father is there for you. You know, when we think of all the things in this life, I know many people, they just would love to have another conversation with their dad. They wish that they could pursue their dad. This is a big issue for many kids whose dad abandoned them. They get up, you know, 17, 18, 19 years of age, and they just start going on Google and Ancestry.com. I've got to find my dad. 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 And I've heard so many stories of people literally driving across the country for a 10-minute talk with their dad, who then slammed the door in their face and they drove all the way back. God is a perfect Father. And all that you need, you will find in Him. Yes, you have pain. Yes, there were times your dad blew you off. God will never blow you off. Yes, there were times dad let you down. God will never let you down. Yes, your dad passed away when you were young. God will never pass away. You need God the Father in your life. You need His love, His approval. And one of the most amazing pictures to me that my dad used to have in his office is of a man when he enters heaven. And all it is just a bunch of clouds. And this man giving a big hug from Jesus. All you need to know is that because of Jesus, you will hear, "Well done," from your Father. I was watching a kid's movie, a stupid kid's movie the other day. Some G-rated Emperor's New Groove, whatever. I think it was a sequel to that. And this big, hunkin' muscle man, all he wanted was a thumbs up from his dad. And the whole movie was about him trying to get his dad's approval. In Jesus Christ, you have approval in God the Father. In Jesus Christ, you will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You will be welcomed by God, welcome into His presence. And because of Jesus, your Heavenly Father is pleased with you. And that is all you need to know. So the question I would have for you is this: do you know the approval of God the Father? Do you have a relationship with God the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ? God has adopted billions of children, and He will gladly adopt one. Would you come to Him through Jesus Christ? And if you're a dad, step up to the plate, man, and hit a home run. You know, all it takes is one ride on a tractor to make your child smart. All it takes is one little time outside throwing baseball with your daughter to make all the difference in her life. Would you step up to the plate? Would you be the father that God has created you to be? And if you're a woman, would you do everything within your power to foster those relationships and encourage those relationships? Lastly, the sad reality is, as a dad, I will fail my children. I have failed my children, and I will failed him many times in the future. But God has never failed one of his kids. And my primary job as a father is to point my children to God the Father, who never fails, who never abandons, who never leaves, who's never too busy, who's never off working overtime, but is always present. Would you find your hope in him today?